Kovala, Maya, Julia Nelson and family. We pray for Heidi Hakala, Lauren and Gladys Bergstedt, Don Kilpala. Pray that this new treatment works for Don, Father. Pray for all of those suffering from the heat and the storms and the floods, Father. Pray your blessing upon them to bring them relief. Pray for the people of the Ukraine, Father, that you would bring them peace. We pray, Father, for all of those still suffering through coronavirus and its long effects. Pray especially for Al Traffy and his wife, Kathy. Pray, Father, for Love, Inc. We pray for Don Haru. We pray for Dave Hargela. Pray for Patty, Bev Luoma, Marianne Sepala, Michael Karpinen, Peggy Amant, Lori Haru. We pray for Wanda Lorenz. We pray for Pastor Dennis Mattson and the Headley Grace Church. Pray for Denise Wertnin. We pray for Adam Widener, Amber Dwyer. We pray, Father, for Dr. Mark Shabuski and his wife, Gail, especially taking care of Mark's dad. We pray, Father, for our local pastors and their families. We pray for all of those in care facilities. We pray for the Little Lambs Orphanage. We pray for our Sunday school and youth. Pray, Father, for our military, our law enforcement of every sort. Pray for our fire departments, our emergency services, our doctors, our nurses. We pray, Father, for all of those who volunteer themselves in so many ways. They take great risks for us, Father, in order to preserve us. We pray, Father, that you would keep them in your care. Be with all of those who are deployed in harm's way. Watch over them. Return them safely home. And be with all of their families as well. We pray, Father, for your worldwide church. We remember all of those who are persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that you would be with them, keep them ever steadfast, Father, but also bring them relief. We pray, Father, as St. Paul told us, for the Israel of God. And we pray, Father, as Jesus taught us, for our enemies. We seek an end, Father, of conflict, a restoration of peace. And Father, we pray for your world that you love so greatly that you gave us your only Son. We pray, Father, for our nation. We pray for our president, our elected officials, our Supreme Court justices. We ask, Father, for your guidance, your direction. Also, Father, that where there is hardness of heart, you would break it and bring forth a new one. We pray, Father, for our church federation, our central board. We pray, Father, for our congregation. And we pray for our worship this day, that once again, Father, you would bless us with the hearing of your word. Indeed, give us ears to hear, an understanding of the same, that we would know indeed the depth and the joy of the salvation that you have wrought for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. O God, whose never failing providence orders all things, both in heaven and earth, we humbly ask of you to put away from us all hurtful things and to give us those things which are good for us. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. And hear us, Father, as we pray, even as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will continue our service with our pulpit hymn number 460, How Great Thou Art. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this, the eighth Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from Paul's epistle to the Romans, the eighth chapter. We will read verses 12 through 25 in that chapter, which isn't really a whole bunch of verses, just a few. So we'll read Romans 8, 12 through 25, where we read in the name of our Lord. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, as your children, we do come before you this day, acknowledging you as God. And we pray, Father, that once again you would give us understanding through your word. For Father, there are so many questions that are raised that we have no answer to. But the question of life, that we have the answer to, that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that in every situation we would fix our eyes upon Jesus, and Father, that we would point to him continually, that people would see and know the power that you have given them on this earth in Jesus Christ, your Son. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. And this really is the point, then, that St. Paul wants to make, is to understand, and of course we talked about this last week in the first 11 verses, that God is at work within your mortal body. He's not simply at work in some Gnostic way, in some spiritual, goofy way. He's also very present and active in working in your mortal body. You belong to God, and God, by his Holy Spirit, indwells you. And God works in you, even in this body, to do what God wants done. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about. He says, therefore, he says, we're not debtors to the flesh. He says, we are not people who are under obligation to the flesh. He says, as a matter of fact, if we were under the flesh and under obligation to that, then we would die. And he's not talking here about physical death, but he's talking about what he calls later, or what is called later in the scripture, the second death, which is really that we would go into eternal separation from God. He says, if that's all that we've got, if we live according to the obligation of the old flesh, of the fallen nature, he says, then that would bring death. He says, but And this is one of those great buts of the scripture. But, if by the Spirit, he says, if through the Holy Spirit, he says, the practices of the body are put to death for you, then you're alive. Then you live. And that's what we talked about last week. You live. Yeah. You live. You live. You're living. And as a matter of fact, as Jesus said, you cannot die. That's what he said to Martha. You cannot die. The one who believes in me will never die. If you are alive through the Holy Spirit of God, you live. Oh my gosh, you live. You actually honestly live. Do you know how hard it is to convince people to live? To just live? All of their lives they spend in like this fear, this angst, you know, this thing that somehow or in some way God is just like waiting to pull the rug out from under them. You know, they're going to get to the point where they're like, you know, just about there. It's kind of like scaling Mount Everest, you know. You're going to get to just about to the summit, and then all of a sudden the python releases and down you go. Now, the sad thing about Christianity is what happens so often for people, they think down they go straight to hell. How terrible. What a terrible way to live. That's no way to live. And God never intended that. God certainly never intended that. God intended to do exactly the opposite. And in order to do that, he gave us himself. The hardest thing, we talked about the incarnation last week, to understand the nature of the incarnation, to realize that God became flesh in order to save us, that Jesus went to the cross to take away our sin. But not content with that, he gave us the Holy Spirit so that God would always be with us, God would always be in us, God would always be incarnate. So that we would understand that we would live. And that's why he says then, for as many people who have this Holy Spirit of God, he says, then they're God's sons. And I know some of you ladies are looking around saying, I'm not a son. Well, you are. And it's not one of those modern things. You know? You're a son, we're all son. And this is what he's talking about. There's only one means of us entering into God, and we had to enter in Jesus Christ. We all become son. We all become joined to Jesus Christ. And he says, if you have the Holy Spirit, then you are son. And he says this very clearly to understand, for you didn't receive a spirit of slavery. You didn't receive this bondage. You didn't receive this thing in your life where you have to spend all of your life fearing that you won't make it. He says, that is not what you received. He says, you didn't receive that spirit of slavery that would bring you to fear. He says, as a matter of fact, instead you received a spirit of adoption. This is a technical Greek word. It means adoption as a son. You received the adoption of a son. You received in Jesus Christ that you would be in union with him. And by the Holy Spirit would testify to your being in union with Jesus Christ. So that the Holy Spirit would know you as son. The Holy Spirit would know you through Jesus the Christ. And knowing you as Jesus the Christ, you would shout out, Abba, which is the Aramaic word for father. That's what Jewish people call their dad back in this time. Abba, father. It does not mean daddy or any of that weird sort of stuff that people like to do. It just means simply this is the word that you use because you're a child of God. And after that, he puts in the Greek word, which is also understanding he was writing to a Gentile audience, and most of them probably didn't call their father Abba. They called him Pater in Greek, and that's all that this is. He says very clearly, he says, you now, no matter what your background is, God is your father. You call out to God as father. God is not a stranger to you. God is not separated from you. God is not estranged from you. God, as a matter of fact, is present with you. God is always with you. And all you need do is call. All you need do is call. You say, Abba, if you're Jewish, you know, and you're still living in the old Aramaic, that's what you say. If you're not, in Greek, you say, Pater. You say, Pater. In English, you say, Father. Yeah, that's what you do. And there he is. Because you're living. You're living. The python isn't going to slip. He's not going to let you drop. Not for a moment. He's keeping you. He's preserving you. St. Peter says that. You are being preserved. You're being preserved for this grand place that he has prepared for you. You're being preserved for that. So there is no spirit of fear, but rather there is this wonderful Holy Spirit by which you know who you are. And you cry out, Father. And he says, and when you cry out, Father, he says, it's not just you doing it. He says, the Holy Spirit is doing it with you. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives you that unction to do that. The Spirit then testifies together with our spirit that we are indeed the offspring of God. We are indeed son. And if we are son, then we are heirs. He says, and we are the heirs of God. So what's God got? Do you ever think? Exactly. He says, I got everything. He says, I don't need anything from you. He says that very clearly. He says, I don't need anything from you. He says, the sheep on a thousand hills, he says, I got all that. That's all mine. He says, everything is mine. He says, I don't need anything from you. What he says is, you get all of it. Everything that he has, he gives us. Because he couldn't give us anything greater than his only begotten Son. With him, the scripture says, he gives us everything. He gives us everything. And he says that so that we would know. He says that we would understand that we're the offspring of God and we are heirs together with Jesus Christ. So that whatever Christ has is given to us. He says, and he says, how do we know that? Well, as a matter of fact, we suffer in life. He says, because that's what happened with Jesus. People think that when they're suffering that somehow God is out to get them. No. That's not how that works. The world is fallen, I hate to tell you. It is not a place of comfort for us. And we are fallen. And we got problems. You know, I paint. I like to paint. You know what happens when I'm painting and it gets in my bifocals? You know, I'm trying to draw a nice straight line, and all of a sudden, there it is in my bifocals. And I was like, who did that? Who hit that spot? That was me, because it got in my bifocals. Because we're fallen. Everything isn't perfect. Everything doesn't go the way that I did, you know, when I was 20 years old, and I could see all this stuff very clearly, and I didn't need bifocals. The scripture says that the world is fallen and we suffer because of it, because there is fallenness in the world. But he says very clearly, he says, that fallenness does not define us. We're just like Jesus. In living, we live suffering, understanding that the glory that is prepared for us is far greater, is far greater. We endure. We give God his due in order to be able to see us through all of these things. And that's why he says, for I account that the sufferings in the time now present aren't worth even being compared with the splendor that's going to be revealed in us. Did you hear that? And that's, I guess, that's probably good. I don't really know that language. But this is where you really come to the point of understanding what is within you through the finished work of Jesus Christ, regardless of what's going on around you. You're waiting for the revelation of that, to see this great and marvelous thing that God has wrought in you. And he says, for the creation's ready expectation, he says, all of creation, King James uses the word creature, and that makes it kind of confusing. It says, the creation, all of the creation is readily waiting. It's waiting. All of the creation is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God, because all of us are sons. All of the creation is waiting for that day when this revelation will take place. And what God has wrought in Jesus Christ is now made apparent and clear. He says, because it was made subject to senselessness. And this is what I want you to understand. There's great people in this world, and they try to make sense of it. Let me tell you, you can't do that. And that's why they never are able to. The great philosophers, you know, they never get there. All these people that embark in all these great scientific journeys, I've told you about Greenstein, one of my favorite books, you know, Quantum Strangeness. He gets to the end of it, and he says, one thing I can tell you, he says, is I don't really know anything. Says, after all these years of everything that I've done, he says, I can't even tell you what physical reality is. And he's one of the greatest quantum physicists on the planet. When you come to the point of understanding, we don't understand. We don't know. It's impossible for us to know. And when people try to make sense of it, you wind up like Jean-Paul Sartre, who simply said, well, nothing makes any sense. He's the only honest philosopher I know. He gets to the end and says, none of this makes any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. And that's correct. And it says very clearly, it was subject to senselessness, not by its own will. It says, but because of the will of the one who made it subject, which is referring to God. Because God did it on the basis of hope. He did not want us to remain in the state. And you understand, that's what happened in the garden. God did not allow them to eat of the tree of life after they had eaten the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God drove them from the garden. He wasn't being mean. He just did not want them to stay in that way and live in that way. That is senselessness. So he drove them from the garden in order to subject them to hope, to give them the understanding that he would deliver them. And he says, it's on the basis of hope that the creation itself will be made free from slavery to mortal decay and will be given the freedom of the splendor of God's children. And I've told you before, C.S. Lewis, he saw that so beautifully. Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, you read that, and that's what that whole thing is all about, was to understand that these kids couldn't see who they actually were. They didn't realize that they were actually the sons of God. And that when they got over on the other side in Narnia, all the animals are like, well, they're the sons of God. You know, the sons of God are here. That means we're going to be delivered. And that's right. We are going to be delivered. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been delivered. You're alive. You're alive. So look alive. Didn't you love that statement? You're alive. You're living. You're living. And the joy of salvation has filled your heart. The joy of salvation has been given to you so that you can understand and you can live now in peace. You can live in the fullness of his salvation. And that's why he says, all of creation, all of creation is just groaning and travailing. It says it's just struggling with this because it can't make sense out of any of this. It's struggling, he says, because all of creation needs to be delivered from this corruption, he says, into the glorious liberty of the children of God, the sons of God. He says, and we ourselves too, he says, we have the first fruit of this by the Holy Spirit. That's the testimony of the Holy Spirit in us. He testifies very clearly so that we groan within ourselves. We're seeking that deliverance. We're waiting for the day when we will be clothed upon with this heavenly tabernacle, when we will be renewed and strengthened. And he says, because we're saved by hope. We have hope. We have hope. But he says, but if we could see it, then he says, then that really wouldn't be hope. He says, because if a human being can see it, then why would he wait for it any longer? He says, but if we hope for what we don't see, then we patiently wait for it. Can you be patient? See, that's really the key, is understanding. We live patiently in this world. Patient, patient. Because we see the fallenness of the world. And we see our own fallenness as well. We know our own sin as well. Can we be patient? See, can we be patient to look to Jesus Christ, to understand that it's Jesus Christ who frees us from this bondage and this corruption? Can we understand and know the joy of that salvation and live that way in the joy of that salvation, in expectation of our deliverance, understanding that we will be delivered, we're going to be delivered from it. It still causes us problems while we live here, but we know that that's not the way that we live. Because, Dan O'Boone, we reckon ourselves dead in Christ. And we reckon that we live. We live. Yes, we live. By grace, entirely by God's grace, we live. We live. And we have, you know, Jimmy Stewart, we have a wonderful life. All of a sudden, we're able to see what we couldn't see in the flesh. But when we see by the Holy Spirit what God has wrought, when we see through the blood of Jesus Christ, when we know that he has taken away all of our transgression, and we know that we are pure and holy in his sight, then we live. We live. And nothing, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And isn't it funny? That's the way he ends this chapter. Nothing, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And by that hope, we live. By that hope, we live. In that grace, we live. That grace is ours. Because we are son through Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit tells us, you are son. You are mine. You're mine. You live. You live like mine. That's just really great. It's just really great stuff. And there is nothing ever better on the face of this earth. And that's why we can freely go out into this world and we can tell anybody, at any time. You just come to him. Practice this word. Father, Father. Because you call upon him and he will save you. You call upon him, he will deliver you. You call upon him and he will give you life. You call upon him and he will make you whole for eternity. And you will know the joy of his salvation. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, you who did all of these things all by yourself, none of us could help you. None of us could do a thing in order to gain any of this. You just gave it to us freely. And Father, we have received it by your grace, and we know that through faith, we can trust you explicitly to bring us through all the way to the end, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so it is, Father, that we approach you with thankful hearts this day for this glorious work that you have worked in us, and for the gift, Father, of your Son, the gift of your Holy Spirit that gives us that testimony that we, of all people in this world, we know who we are. We are yours. And Father, we thank you for that. We pray, Father, that you would keep us ever firm in that great statement that we know who we are through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we will close our service with hymn number 470, Blessed Be